Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Good morning, Vietnam. How are you doing?
Morning, Dalo.
How's it going, lads?
Dalo, how's the farm?
I didn't see since around the 20th of July on the racing channel there. I've seen a few of you on television in the meantime and things. But the split season has completely taken us off the airwaves. But so we're back. The little old Ireland chain is coming near the end. So straight away to have us back. You're all very welcome along, lads. To the Irish Examiner's hurling show. Great to have the band back together again, with Marco still in the front room, not wearing any fancy shirt today, I don't think. TJ with spandex Wi-Fi.
Hey, these are Katie Tay's colours. Now, did you mention that famous day down in Tramore, that young Ryan had his first winner ever?
Yes.
Delighted to say it, since the last time we met you. So she's going now Friday week, Dela, as the chairman of the racing club. You might make an appearance, will you?
It depends. If the Clarecastle match is decided on Saturday, I'm going to try and go. But if it's a draw, I don't think we got the penalties in the relegation. So I'll have to see.
Have you ruled the penalties out?
This split season, like you see, some of you are loving it. But for anyone that's really involved with their club, it's tough going. Like, you have to stay at it. Do you know what I mean? So I can't be swanning around the country to Tramore and Decorra and Gowran Park and places. No,
But you come here, whether it was a split season or not, they'd still be holding on 10 or 11 or 12 months of the year anyway. Like, so just have to get your diary right there, like, you know?
No, it's when you're involved. I'd be free next year.
I am led to believe you left a few yelps out of yourself in the pub the day Katie Tay followed, and even though you were beaten in the championship the same day, I'm led to believe there was a couple of smiley faces down in Morty Brown's or wherever you were hanging out that day.
We had come back to powers in Clarecastle after our first ever championship defeat to Ballyhea in our history. And we were a bit down. But they'd have been hot favourites to beat us. I mean, they were the county champions and we've been fighting relegation every year for about 8. But we played okay. I ran them to 4 points. We were abysmal against Bradford last week. So we're hoping for better things this Saturday or else we're down. But that was the one thing. Niall McMahon was working behind the bar. And Colin Higgins is a selector. I mean, they're both members of the Come On Racing Club. And so to Niall, there was some soccer match on, and they said they wouldn't put on the old racing there. One fella said to me, I think she went off at something like 8 to 13 on, did she?
Yeah.
The Limerick money came late, Dela.
The Cowboys. Some fella said, but he tipped me in the back, like, and it was loads of snakes belly now after being beaten in the match. But of course, they'll race, cheered us up, and then Patrick gave it a good ride, bring it home. And your man said, thanks for the information, Dela. He said, Jesus, I says, as JP said, if you have the 13, you don't need the 8.
Correct.
Yeah, I'll stop. Look forward to next Friday, lads, hopefully. I hope even old bed kept for me there, Mark, down in Kilkenny.
In fairness, we have 25 rooms taken in the River Court Hotel, and thankfully they're all booked out. And in fairness, like the beauty of it, you know, we're leasing the filly off of owners. And in fairness to the owner, Paul Byrne and David Mullins have put their hand in their pocket there, and they're actually going to pay for a meal in the night for any member who decides to stay. So looking forward to bringing people from all over the country. And I'm expecting 50 or 60 people at least to stay, and we'll have a few pints in the River Court, and we might hit back to Miller's or a couple of other places around Kilkenny. So if you see a couple of rowdy fellas next Friday week, you know where they come from. Joseph, she'll win. We'll bring the house down.
Paul Byrne and David Mullins will be paying for champagne and stuff as well, I tell you.
Correct. Yeah.
We'll be having the caviar starter.
No, but I suppose just to look, I don't know what to teach you about this, but just to say thanks to everybody who has got involved. It has been a great journey. And, you know, for the people who have paid up the 200 quid for their membership, we're closing the membership on the 29th of September, the day before Katie runs. So there will be no further memberships taken after then. And anybody who's in is in, as the man says, and we'll be looking forward to the future. But thank you to everybody who has got involved in the racing club. It has been a fantastic success so far, you know?
Yeah, as TJ said, it's going to take you to places you only dreamt about. And the only day I was there was a poor enough run from Purple Gown in Leopardstown. But I represented you that day with Cyril. But I'm watching you on the TV and hearing about the exotic visits up to Mullins' stables and the crowd we had at that. And so people are really enjoying it. And I don't think there's too many spots left, so it's Last Chance Saloon for anyone who wants to sign up. So we're quite happy with what has signed up. It's been a great, and from talking to you lads, they've been a great bunch as well.
Great bunch. Yeah. I was going to say, Shane, you can come along and join us next Friday too, tomorrow week, if you can drag yourself away from the school for a couple of hours. We'll invite you to Gordon Park. And before that, I'm heading to the little island down in Listowel tomorrow. Good racing there this week. So that's tomorrow, and then I'm hitting the little All Ireland semi-finals on Sunday. Marco has extended the red carpet. He's going to look after me for the day. I'm getting the full Cork treatment on Sunday.
Jesus, I tell you, you've great lives. That's all I know. You've just great lives.
Well, Marco said to me a long time ago, Dillo, you have to try and live your best life, and we're trying to do that at the moment. And I think we're doing a reasonable job.
Shane, Brian Russell over the road there in Burgess, you know, is able to get an old sub every so often. You might be able to swing one there on Friday, will you?
Well, I tell you, lads, my window of crack is getting smaller and smaller by the day, by the hour, because we've number three on the way here now. At any day, at any time. We're trying to keep everyone's blood pressure down, so we don't have to go in too soon, because we're hurling ourselves on Saturday. So look, where I'll be Friday week will most likely be the maternity hospital inside Limerick, I'd say, TJ. But a different kind of event, we'll say, inside there. So
we'll send you a WhatsApp around 8 o'clock at night.
we might have a glass of champagne on you, Shane.
Absolutely, Mark. Absolutely.
Oh, I hope everything goes well over that. Fair play.
That's enough racing. They'll be all giving out the non-racing crowd. But I met a fella. My late mother-in-law, Mary. We buried her last Friday. Mary Murphy. She was a great lady. But loads of people coming to the house, obviously, Wednesday night. She was laid out at home. And then the following night was the church. And then buried Mary on Friday. And met loads of people at the house, especially because, you know, the house is more low-key. People sitting around having a cup of tea, and met a man that I thought would have no interest in horses. Was a great hurling man, all right, retired man now, ex-CIE man, was his station master. And he says, I love the first 20 minutes, Dela, he said. So maybe we don't drive everyone demented with the talk of what's running where and what the crack is going on. And new babies and stuff like that. Hopefully we're keeping the general. And Larry has us warned to try and keep it to the hour, lads, for these shows.
Keep it to the hour, yeah. I was going to say, before you move on to the races, I was in a pub there recently. I saw a poster, right? And I just took a picture of it, right? Which says basically that a bad day at the races is better than a good day at work.
I've come home from a few race meetings, TJ. I'd rather done 10 hours here in the bar.
Okay, right. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I know what he's saying. Lads, loads has happened. We'll get on to the club stuff in a few minutes. I've done a good few notes there last night for what's coming up this weekend. I probably missed a couple of bits, so you'll be able to help me on that. Loads has happened in the wider world of hurling, as we say, especially the managerial merry-go-round where it's gone to. It's gone belubas really this year, and I suppose the man who won 11 All-Irelands 18 Leinster titles, 10 national leagues, 4 as a player, All Ireland's. Finally, I didn't predict it because they were so good all year. I thought they'd definitely be having another shot to go all the way next year. But Mr. Brian Cody has decided to call it a day. Derek Ling is the chosen replacement. Tough gig to be going into, but I suppose there is a recognition that the youth and the old, he left a knock on every year with TJ, and he'll have to bring a couple of more of his under-20s, which he won the All-Ireland with. But that's Cody. What a career for All-Ireland as a hurler, obviously. Massive. Played full-back and full-forward, I think. And two All-Ireland clubs with the Village as well, and gone back in with the Village now, I see, as a selector. But like 11 All-Irelands, 18 Leinsters, 10 leagues. I mean, we'll never see his likes again, will we?
Hard to see it, Delo. Like, no words of mine will do it justice. Like, phenomenal achievement, unbelievable manager, number of different teams, and reinvented the wheel with like key different personnel throughout those years. And even in his final year just gone, like, they were not that far away. Phenomenal achievement. I mean, to be going down the stretch with Limerick, and as it was getting closer to the end, as a Limerick person, you were hoping the final whistle was coming, because Kilkenny just weren't going away. Unbelievable culture and spirit in that. I know he spoke about that on a regular basis, but they just every day turned up, and like, you were guaranteed a work rate and a work ethic, and just basically all the good attributes you want in a team. And I suppose he looked for that character. Like, and he picked plenty of them, and he maybe picked players at different times that people might have looked and said they didn't know what he saw in them, but like, more often than not, he was proved right, and he pulled plenty of rabbits out of the hat in different games down through the years. And I'm sure Shane will probably know probably more than any of us. You know what I mean, so, some of those. And look, as I said, just unbelievable. It probably was, for me personally, like, even though he's been there that long, it was still a little bit of a shock, because he just, like, I suppose if you go back to that, like, that length of time, like 24 years, you know, like, an awful lot of people won't remember Kilkenny with any other manager, you know. So it's just been that constant. So, yeah, incredible. I just don't know what he's going to do now, Brian. Like, is it normally
he's
will
straight back on the line with Jim Stevens? I suppose that's a fair sign. Shane, I had the misfortune of managing against him for a lot of that time, even though I wasn't his biggest threat by any means. But I got him when that 06, my last year with Clare in 06, and then when I started at Dublin in 09. We ran into him quite a bit, and delighted to be able to say we got a league win against him and a championship win. But not intimidating on the line. You knew you were in the presence of greatness, I'd say. You played against his team's finest, I suppose, period. His presence to you, I know you have to focus on who you're marking on your own job, and you had obviously superb managers between Liam and Eamon and whoever else, Declan and that in the time. He always had them at a certain level, Shane.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And like, say, if you go through the numbers there, like, you know, and I suppose it's when someone steps away, they become even more popular or more liked. Like, say, Johnny Cash was never as popular till he died. And I suppose maybe Brian Cody mightn't be as liked by everyone now because he's gone away. But like, say, I played in 5 All-Ireland finals. I never played in any final except against Kilkenny. I didn't know any road or traffic up bar tip Kilkenny. And I suppose you called out the numbers there, 11 All-Irelands to have been won. Like, most people in the GAA community, lads, haven't been at 11 All-Irelands, let alone have won 11 All-Irelands as a manager. Like, it's just phenomenal. He always had them. I suppose the one word he always used was spirit. You know, you often see the clips there on Twitter or YouTube, and he's always on, if he's talking to maybe a company down the country, or where he's talking to an under-12 group, the one word that always crops up with him was spirit, and creating a spirit that'll never be broken. And I think that's what they had. And I suppose just to touch on what TJ said there, they always brought it when it mattered most. Like, I rarely remember him when it mattered most now, being poor as a whole group. Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 of them might have been poor, but they didn't get much of a chance. They were whipped off. And I just think that's one of the things he created, was a spirit that was never broken. He obviously had a phenomenal bunch of players, but you know what, lads? Like, there's lots of managers around the country have phenomenal bunch of players, talent on paper, but he got them to do it on grass when it mattered the most. And I think that's the testament to him. And sure, look, he'll go down as one of the greatest ever, even as a player, what he's won. And what he's done as a manager will never be seen again, maybe in any sport. So unbelievable. But I just think the hold he had on the players, lads, as you know well from working with lads and talking to lads and meeting them here, there and everywhere. But I suppose one story I have, kind of a funny story maybe, we were at an event one night, one of the All-Stars nights, and there was a gang of us up there, and you know, it was coming to that time of the night, we said, no, we might have a few small ones now to finish off the night, like, you know, and make sure we all got a good night's sleep, lads, as, yeah, as you know about it, these events, like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So the last lads was coming on all this crack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe an old drop of blackcurrant in the Guinness. But anyway, we were saying to the boys, to Kilkenny lads, we have a few small ones. And they were like, we'll wait now till Brian has gone to bed and we'll chance it in. So I just think that's kind of the hold. Maybe that's kind of the respect they had for him. And maybe that's just the way he was with them. And they knew where the line was. They rarely crossed it. And if they did cross it, they knew the consequences of that. But that was just one of many stories I'm sure people have. But like, what a manager, what a GAA sports person. Will we ever see the likes of him again in managerial terms? No, we won't. So what, you know, he'll go down as one of the great sleds.
Yeah. And I got him well drunk one night in City West on red wine. He kind of relaxed in my company, I think, and Ned Quinn was being sent up for another bottle of red, and the two of us were sitting back. Elsie was only drinking a tiny drop. But that's my claim to fame with him anyway. Never mind beating him in a league final or whatever. But Mark, you've had massive admiration. Huh?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but from day one.
I know. Yeah. And you've often said it here, and there were a team and a manager that you really. How tough is it for Derek Ling? Or you think he'll be given a good chance? We've all seen how kind of when the long serving guy goes, how there can be a bit of turbulence, you know, afterwards with David Moyes, Sir Alex.
I've just been going to say, so the Ferguson era has been a calamity after he left, to be honest with it. And there's definitely similarities between Ferguson and Cody, there's no doubt, in terms of the ruthlessness and the respect that the players had and what he could get out of the players on any given day. So the similarities, it will be a tough gig for Derek. I think the Kilkenny people themselves know they will give Derek plenty of breathing space because of what has gone before them. And we always discussed who would be the person to put their shoes into Brian's shoes. And it's a very, very difficult job. But in fairness, Derek has won at the under-20 last year. And he was involved with Brian for a good number of years. And he stepped back then and went into the under-20 role after a couple of poor years. This was Eddie Brennan was in charge one year where Westmead beat him. So I think, you know, there was, I suppose, ramifications after that. And Derek, I think, did a very, very good job. I think they might have been slightly fortunate to win the under-20 last year against Limerick. But that's, look, at the end of the day, you win them. But I think Derek will do fine. But the reality is, the game has moved dramatically to, I think, 5 or 6 teams at the top level have a chance of winning the All-Ireland. I think Limerick, I won't say they've come back to the pack. I think Kilkenny got a massive game out of themselves last year to go up a gear and to go up a level. To score 226 in the All-Ireland final, still coming away losing, was a big surprise. So whether the Waterfords, the Corks, the Galways, the Wexfords can produce something. Clare, yourselves, Dale, like it's hard to believe he played so well in the Munster final and afterwards then just the wheels came off for some reason, whether that was the Everest for ye last year. But, like, what Kilkenny did last year...
He didn't mention
year.
You at all, Shane.
Well,
he didn't mention you at all.
No, it's okay.
Come on, Dale. Oh, I had forgotten about you, so I said I'd mention you.
Yeah, you barely remember Clare, and you forgot to mention Dale.
Yeah. But going back to Brian Cody, I did have the pleasure of his company about 3 weeks ago. So, and I spent an hour and a half with the men, and I must say I asked them a couple of the questions I know you'd like to be asking him, because I would have a good relationship with Brian, and I would have been somebody who would have said I'd have been disappointed with the way the Henry thing and himself turned out, right? And I didn't know what kind of a response I was going to get when I met him. Well, maybe he doesn't listen to the podcast, hopefully, or maybe he does. But the truth of the matter is, I waited for an hour for him after the Hurling for Cancer in Kildare. And I introduced him to Donal Morrissey, actually, Dan and Tom's father, who'd never met him before. And he was going over to the Newbridge Silver Complex for a cup of tea afterwards. I said we'd meet him over. So I had the pleasure of talking to him for an hour and a half. And one of the questions I asked him is, how are you going to fill your time? He said, I don't know, he said, because I've never been in this situation for 24 years. So, because everything was focused on Kilkenny. And I just said to him, I said, are you going to miss it? Again, he said, I presume I am going to miss it, but time will tell. I'd say, if you ask me in 12 months' time, I'll let you know. But he was very, very happy, I would say, of what he's achieved. And I think, personally, my own view is I think he's probably gone out at the right time as well. Obviously, love to go out winning an All-Ireland, but go out with a performance, a massive performance against probably the best team, the current era now. And I just think there was a little bit of damage done, I think, on the Henry thing, and maybe he was getting a bit more, maybe a bit cranky, and maybe, you know, the people on the street, I don't know whether they would have had an influence, but I think you can say 99% of the time he's an absolute gentleman. But by Jesus, when he's on the sideline and he does this, you're in trouble. So I'll be missing that next year. And I'll be wondering who'll be taking up that role next year.
Yeah, he can join. He's still time to join Come On Racing if you want to pop him a text there today.
We were going to make him an honorary president.
There's no honorary presidents. There's no honorary chairman. There's no honorary secretary.
It's a GA club, like, you know, but the problem was going to be, the problem was going to be having himself and Charlie and Jackie Tullin in the one room together.
No. Out. When you shamed Hoagie into parting with the 200s, you nearly shamed Cody into the back.
I think they've made a good call, Kilkenny. I suppose we all made our own different assumptions, and there was probably no county with as many potential managers that would roll off your lips straight away, certainly internally, as came out from Kilkenny just would say after he had stepped down, because they have an awful lot of people doing great work in different places and very successfully. So there was plenty of options there. But like Derek, the job he did with the 20s, you'd have to say it was very good. And I just think he's in the right place at the right time. So we'll all probably wait until the end of maybe a year or two to decide whether it was a good call or not. But right now, I think from a Kilkenny point of view, it was the right call. There might have been temptation to jump, obviously, like Henry being an option and what he's doing. Like, so it might have been difficult to tempt him away from Galway. But at the same time, right now today, I think from a Kilkenny County Board point of view and the continuity point of view, I think they've made the right call.
Yeah, as soon as Derek had won the 20 and then Cody decided he was gone, I always felt he was a strong contender. Obviously, you'd hear the other, you know, obviously the other names that have managed, like obviously Henry.
Eddie Brennan.
Mick, obviously, with Offaly, Eddie with Leash, and DJ then has been involved, obviously, very successfully with Carlo on that. But yeah, like once he won the 20, I really felt he was in contention. So look, and obviously they would have worked together as well as fair crossover players. But look, the best of luck to Derek, nice guy, and hope he does well. The last bit of Waterford last year, after probably three good years, kind of the wheels came off a bit. So Liam Cahill is back in Tip, where they wanted him a year earlier. Poor old Colin Bonner, 3-year term in GAA, doesn't count for much ever anyway. That's why I never signed anything ever in the GAA. It's 3-year term. I used to say to John Costello, I'll meet you next October and we'll see, would it be better or worse for me to stay going? Because this 3-year crack, I don't know.
But I'd say club or county dealer, there's nothing in the GAA more than 12 months. You're just this season, let's see how you get on and we'll have a sit down.
That's it. Like, but I think county board like to announce that, you know, that they're giving him time to... But anyway, Liam is back with Tip, and we're hearing breaking news overnight, Shane, that... he's bringing a Waterford man with him in a man he worked with last year, and Tony Brown, which is big news. You don't see too many outside selectors going in to Tip. My recollection, anyway, I can't think of too many. So it's a big move, but it makes for a very strong management team for Tip.
Yeah, it does. It does. It really does. You don't see many outside guys. No, you don't. I remember Michal Donoghue came in with us when Eamon O'Shea was manager. Now, it wasn't really in a selector role. It was just kind of Michal was at that stage of his career, I suppose, after being with Clarenbridge. And I suppose he was trying to get experience and move on. And he would have taken some sessions with us. But I remember one night in particular, Michal actually wore... We were playing Galway in the championship in Simple Stadium. in the knockout. And I think he got a good bit of grief for having a tip top on him. But I suppose he said, look, when you're in, you're in. And I suppose that'll be hard for Tony Brown when we go and play Watford. And it'll be hard on the other side as well, lads, with maybe our greatest ever, Owen Kelly, on the sideline of Watford. But I suppose these lads realise, and they're obviously been brought in for a reason. I know that Owen always got on very well with Davey when we were in LIT in Fitzgibbon terms, and always got on very well with him, and they had massive respect for each other and really valued each other's opinions when we were hurling inside in LIT. And I'm sure it's exact same day, though, that Liam Cahill hasn't just plucked Tony Brown, you know, out of the sky because he was a brilliant hurler. He obviously brought a lot to the table, and Cahill obviously values his opinion. So he'll, like, that's why he's in with Tip. But again, Tony Brown, Owen Kelly, they'll have the Tip gear and the Watford gear on them. They know what'll be at stake when they're facing each other, and it'll be, you know, it could be a massive, massive game, as the Munster round robin games have been for the last few years. So I think it's a big call. It's a big call to do it. But look, Davey's bringing in Owen because he knows he's going to bring something to it, and Liam is bringing in Tony Brown because he knows he's going to bring something to the table. So what they're going to bring, Davey and Liam Cahill know better than any of us. But I think you have two very passionate hurling guys going in who have done it all, seen it all, and you know, it's definitely going to be an added bonus to the backroom team, you know, that Liam Cahill has and that Davey will have in Watford. So it just adds to the spice, lads, doesn't it, of when Tip play Watford again, like in the Munster Championship, like.
And poor old Brian Owen has to face Davey every year. He's back in Munster now, so he definitely has to face him, and he had to face him 2 years in a row with Wexford as well. But
Shane, an interesting one on the Tip management team. Like when Liam announced his management team first, right? You wouldn't believe some of the text messages I got, because one of Liam's selectors going forward is a guy called TJ Ryan, right? So obviously when that was announced, right? So I, from even some of my close friends and including a family member, my older sister sent me a message saying that she couldn't believe that I had joined the Tip setup.
Would you rule out that for the future?
Well, Shadello, I'm a bit like yourself. I never say never.
But there's a fair chance.
TJ, would it be like Larson going back and playing for Rangers? Would it, TJ?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very, very close to the Emily border where I am. And you know yourself, you know, the closer you get to your neighbors, Dello.
Yeah.
The little bit of rivalry kind of notches up. That's the reality.
We could have been hurling together, TJ, you know, as I said to you before. Yeah.
Shame is in our parish, but yeah. So no, the tip Limerick rivalry would be at part of its strongest in my area. Let's just say that.
Well, since I moved to West Clare, the nearest county to me is Kerry. TJ, so unless I take the ferry again someday, but you wouldn't rule that out either. Well, as we wouldn't have, Mark, it was funny today, the All-Ireland, we were all there together, sure, we were being paraded. Well, there was only about 5,000 in the stadium, I think. But chit-chatting to Davey in the tunnel, and he was with us the night before, and I said, sure, how are you going to stay in the Sunday game? Yeah, I said, you're going somewhere, and they're like, I would have thought it was to Dublin in my head. I didn't see the Watford return, but it kind of shocked us all, didn't it, really? And as much as Michal, I don't know who then. We all expected Cahill to go back to Tip at some stage, whether it would be straight away or Colum would get another year or whatever. But we might be taught it. We didn't see Michal, I don't know who coming. I didn't anyway, unless he went back to Galway. But Davey to Watford was a bit of a shock as well.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't believe, I'd be straight with you, that he went back down to Watford. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that now. It's just that I would have felt that what he was there once, did a reasonably good job, but I didn't expect to see him going back there again. It's probably the first time that a manager has gone back from the outside, obviously. And Kieran Kingston had done Cork, went away and came back and stuff like that. But Anthony, the movement this year, Fitzy to Waterford, Cahill to Tip, Pat Ryan to Cork, Cody gone, Ling in, Donoghue to Dublin, Willie Mayer to Laois, and then change, Michael Fennelly gone from Offaly. So like, there has been a massive, massive change in the management structures across all the inter-county scenes. And probably we're going to see more and more of this happen. And the extra piece of that is the selectors going from different counties you know, from their playing counties to other counties to manage and be selectors or coaches. So, like, the barriers that were there and the thought process that was there for, we say, club or a county, oh, you can't go outside your own club, you can't go outside your own county. I think that day is gone, and you, I mentioned that before, that the GAA is evolving at a rapid, rapid rate, and this is part of it as well, where the club boundary and the county boundary is no longer part of that. There obviously will be some people, entity, no matter who they are, won't go across the county bounds to train another county or another club, you know, but you lose good people. And it was one of the things I would have said a long time ago, you know, where a fella might be in a position, and so like the likes of Henry or the likes of Michael Shefflin, Michael Fenley, when is their chance going to come for Kilkenny? So they, do they sit in the sideline waiting for the Kilkenny County Board to make up their mind, or do they go away and cut their teeth with another county? And I would be, I'd be a big believer of letting fellas off, get them cut their teeth, you know, because you'll make mistakes as well. And there's no doubt about that. And fellas want to do the best they can with their own county. So I think there's a huge amount of learnings. But just coming back to your question about Davey, I'm shocked to see that he went back to Waterford, but I'm delighted that he's in the game, to be honest with you, because I can sit here on a Monday morning and have a few cracks off.
You used to be doing that while he was on the Sunday game as well, like.
I know.
No, it is great. And like I said, kudos to Dublin as well, Micheál. I don't know who it was. Only two, and we're after blowing. Cody listens to us, he'll have a swell head after talking about him. But really, the only two managers in the last 5 or 6 years, 7 years maybe or so, are John Kiely and Liam Sheedy and Micheál Donoghue to win All-Irelands, and Dublin to go after Micheál Donoghue, who no one saw it coming, really. There was a few speculated on, and I think it's a great coup, and he has that Galway set up with him going back in. So it is a challenging time for Dublin, but at the same time, he'll get a bit of time in Dublin. In fairness to John Castellani, he's other county, but they would give you a chance to put your stamp on it. So that has been the case with the previous few managers. So we'll wish him kind of best of luck.
A tendency to go for experience too, Dello, and in all those appointments. Like, it's a difficult job now. It's very much all-consuming. And I suppose the guy that has a good CV and has been there and done it and knows the scene, because she's in the inter-county setup today, there's so much scope. We spoke there very briefly about the Mayo setup and what Max Day is bringing to the table, and Shane, you were kind of basically Bradley said he has everything except a gynecologist involved in all the areas. So it's a huge job. But David Waterford, for me, was I a little bit surprised? I probably was. I probably knew David was going to come back into the game, and for me, Davey's probably a little bit like Guinness. He's an acquired taste. So, like, some people love their Guinness. And, like, I think that this time he's a really good fit. The Waterford team is experienced. I don't think he has to find a huge amount of players. I think all the players
ready.
They're ready. So, a lot of the guys, I think, outside of Pádraig Mahony, I think none of the guys were involved when he was there before. So, I think this is a good fit. And in fairness to Davey Fitzroy, right, his record and what he's done speaks for itself and what he brings to the table. So, I think a good fit. And I was speaking to a couple of Waterford people. I met them at the rest of Tramore, and I mean, even prominent people in Waterford. And you know, I mean, they were happy with the appointment, and it's definitely grown on them. And they're certainly looking forward to it. And as Mark said, they're like, new managers are going to be under pressure from the word go, because like, they have the luxury of being the experience on their side and have been there and done that. But like us in the GAA, geez, we've sharp memories. No, you're as good as your last game. So they're going to have to get off the ground to a flyer and try and maybe make some bit of a stamp to say this is heading in the right direction. And they're going to have to want the good vibes out there. But yeah,
they probably don't want to be winning the league.
Well, I don't know. Was there something there today, Dale, but there's no potential league final? Is that real?
I don't know, but sure, it's been the round robins in both places have kind of destroyed the league with the condensed season, because you've no time. No real time. The league has to be played. Like blood a few lads, but it's not. I don't think it's any.
But is there a possibility you're talking about no league finals? Yeah.
Well, yeah, it happened. It happened not that long ago. I'd say maybe sometime in the last 15, maybe 20-year period now, that they just had a Division One and the top team in it, as it is a league, won the league. They only did it 1 year though, because I'd said a few quid was needed from the semi-final.
Or is that just the football?
The final. I'm not sure. There's massive changes in football. I haven't a clue, to be honest with you. It's hard enough to keep going with our own thing, but I'm not sure. But it's not. Look, I don't think teams look at the Waterford story from last year as well. I think it could be devalued even further, the league.
And the fact that we said Limerick didn't go brilliant in the league last year and came out and won the All-Ireland afterwards. So you had both sides of it, Anthony, hadn't you?
You had. And that's, you will have. Like, that's the reality of it. And I just think the teams, there's a round robin to be played, and you have to try and get in the three in both provinces. You don't invest too much in the, there isn't really time either. If you're in the league final, as we all saw that last year, you were going to be up against the gun straight away, almost to be ready again. Like, whereas we were always, you know, our time, the league final, get to it, you normally had 5-6 weeks. You know, you could even let teams go back, play two rounds slow or whatever. And
I think one of the key problems, Dale, one of the key problems for managers is the current structure of league and championship is the training block within them is very small, right? So if you approach the league with a view of gung-ho, get to the league final and win it, it probably takes that trialing aspect and really having a look at different possibilities away, because you want to win every game. And then, as we now know, the way that the Munster Championship for sure is, there's no gimme, no game in there that you can take a chance on. And that between the league and the championship, if that block is only, let's say, 2 weeks, which it was for, let's say, the Cork and Waterford, you get no chance or no opportunity to change if something goes wrong. And that's where the problem arises of being in the league final. So if you want to try and look at a number of different things through the league, it's trying to marry being competitive and winning versus having all your ducks in a row for the championship. So that's where the challenge really is. It's not so much the time gap, but like in Cork's situation, Mark, this year, where if it goes wrong, you just don't have time to fix it.
Yeah, but like you could look at Limerick then as well. They didn't pay any great heed to TJ and just trained hard and got themselves ready, because maybe they were a little bit behind from the celebrations and things. And
so well, that's they got the time right.
Yeah, oh, they did. Sure, that's if you look at it, if you win the All-Ireland, everything is right. That brings us on, I suppose, and we'll keep a bit of this, lads. I think we're not back for 2 weeks. We'd have to wait for the little All-Ireland final, I think, before we're back. So, and we have a lot of club stuff to get through, and I want to talk about a few little other things. The mix, the new season, are you enjoying it, or can you see flaws or stuff that can be improved on, or are you, I'd say you're just loving it, Mark. It's, everything is perfect, which you down to the semi-finals and football down to the semi-finals, and it's just seamless running along.
It's running like clockwork, Della, and that is down to the very efficient running of the Cork County Board. Once they have their times, they get their matches played. We had a quarter final that was finished a draw at full time, a draw after extra time, and then went to penalties. There's only one team complaining, the team that got beaten. Every other team is delighted because the other semi-finalists, the matches can go ahead. There's no team seems to be getting an advantage. And, you know, after an hour and 20 minutes, if you haven't been separated, go down to penalties. And the excitement, obviously, for people watching the live streaming, people who were at the match, and you see Blackrock, the way they celebrated afterwards, it's just the new GAA thing, lads, and we just got to embrace it and move on. But the only point I'm going to make to you about the split season is a brilliant idea because it protects the club. And that is the single most important thing, is that the club player is protected. Now, it has flaws. We've seen the stuff with some of the inter-county hurlers and footballers who left Ireland to go to America. And that is because there's been a culture for the last 10 or 15 years for lads in college and stuff like that are going to America to get a few quid and obviously do a bit of travelling. No issue with that, right? And I think that will change as the new structure beds in, Anthony, over time. But in terms of promoting the club game...
What? They won't go to America, is that what you're saying?
I think the numbers that are going, Anthony, will become lesser and lesser, would be my view. You know, right. I think because the last 10 or 15 years, fellas were saying last year, we're going to America the following summer, so they're planning to do it. So if you had 100 people that did that this year, that might be 90 next year, it might be 80 the year after. I think it takes time for this to evolve. Like, we've been in a situation where the club play one game at the start of the year, do nothing for 3 months, and then come back with it. And then you're waiting for your inter-county team to be out of championship before you can play the next. So that is all gone now. There's a structure. The inter-county is going to be there. The club is going to be there. And, like, the other thing is, like, we had clubs last year that were training in November and knew they weren't going to be playing championship till July. So that kind of will change as well, like, you know, because of experience and trialing it and see how it gets on. So is there tweaks that can be made? Of course there are. There's no doubt about that. Is there?
You were saying early on, dear, you referenced the Clare County Board as being a basket case, couldn't organise. Or we know our semi-finalists next Sunday evening as well. We'd be just a week behind you. And Wexford also got a fair lambaste and a few early in the year for not having their, but their county finalists, yeah. Their county champions are there for the last 7 weeks, I think, waiting for a Leinster club campaign without any class of a match. Kerry,
am I right or wrong? Are you trying to tell me, am I right or wrong about the Wexford? I covered off the Wexford one first now, right? Am I right or wrong, sir? That you have a team that have to win the county and they're going to be waiting for 8 weeks to play the first round of the Leinster Championship.
But they're telling us they're more than happy with it. They're telling us they're more than happy with it. That they want to concentrate on hurling first, then on football.
Okay, that's grand. So that's their own decision. But both those county boards, yours included, you're missing the point, is ye were still waiting for the Clare inter-county team to be out of championship before they put a structure in place of when were going to be playing.
No,
that was the argument I had with you.
The structure
wasn't
there.
No, absolutely not.
They had given provisional dates if Clare didn't get to the All-Ireland final. But they also had another date if Clare got to the All-Ireland final. And that's the one. Didn't get to the final, they're beating the semi-final. That's the one. And we're still a week behind the great Cork setup.
So tell me this much. Were all your players back from America to play with your club, were they?
No. Eventually, there's one still away.
Yeah.
And there's one back now. Possibly might play. And there is one back. He's played well for us, centre-back. He came back early. I don't think he liked it out there. So he came back early. And we got him back. But the other two were missing for most of...
They've had about four times already this year. Yeah, you probably have heard bits of it.
Okay, you were prepared today, you know, Dale, right, to bring it up. So I wasn't prepared, but I will say this to you, right? The split season is that the club championship doesn't go back to the second last weekend in July, right? And if that message was transported to the Clare players that went away to America, your club involved, right? Rather than saying there's a provisional date for this, depending on when you win or lose your match, just start on the last or the second last week of July, and the players would actually be back in time. And you'd be able to get your timings right in terms of training and stuff like that.
Well, a lot of these lads were hurling over there, Mark. And if your club progressed to a semi-final or final, you wouldn't be coming back. That's the reality of it.
We'll come back. But Marco, what I'm going to say here, right, is to be fair to the GAA, let's say at the outset here, the goal was to try and facilitate a system where the inter-county system or the game got their priority and the club got their... That was the overall goal, right? So your opinion here is influenced by which fence are you sitting on, right? Like, the vibe I'm getting from the inter-county players is they like it, right? The vibe I get from some of the supporters is that they don't like it because they'd like to have games going into August because some of their Sundays are boring and they don't have matches there, right? The club player or the dual player or the student, depending on their situation, it's all sort of differing opinions. My own opinion, I'm a little bit on the fence at times. Like, it is difficult for the club player to wait all the way to literally the last week of July or the 1st of August to get a championship game. It's a long wait. And as I said, it's wrong. Like I said, look, I've two sons myself. If one of them wanted to go to America, like, I certainly wouldn't be stopping him if he got an opportunity to go and travel and hurl. I think that's unfair. So there's an awful lot of differing opinions here. We said that we might have a challenge there to set ourselves by the end of the year to sit down and throw a calendar together to put on the page. And that's the challenge there for everybody. So if you go from the start of the year, from, let's say, Fitzgibbon Cups to pre-league tournaments to league to championship into club scene, and even the club scene, if you maybe bring in dual clubs, which is difficult again, and then we're into a situation where it's 17 versus 18, then there's 17s and 19s competitions, 19, and some places running side by side, and even there's an under 21 competition, which is maybe fired into the end of the year, because obviously anybody decent under 21 is playing with the senior team. So it's a very complex situation. And if you have a strong opinion on it, you need to have a solution to go with it. And in fairness to county boards, from what I can see, they are genuinely trying to do the right thing. And in Wexford, if it suits them, and you know, even Jamie Card and Mikey Fogarty, those boys were telling me in Wexford that there's a huge amount of dual clubs there. And they felt the solution for them was to finish one competition and then concentrate on the other, and that works for them. And I suppose, look, you have to respect that opinion. So, like, I probably wouldn't like to see something like that in Limerick, but what is the exact right science? Like, Shane, you're still playing. It'd be interesting to see from your point of view in the club scene as to what you think.
Yeah, there's a good bit there now, lads.
we're always fighting about that.
Not a question. I tell you, my view on the split season, obviously there's pros and cons. I'm for it anyway. I think the pros are, like, you know, you have a defined year, and socially you can kind of plan your year. And, you know, I suppose a lot of lads can actually go on a summer holiday during the actual summer, rather than hoping to go maybe in January and it might be pissing rain in Lanzarote, like, and that might be your summer holiday, which, you know, we've all probably done, lads. But can I also say, any club guy, you know, thinking about getting married and planning your wedding in August or September, you're asking for trouble, lads. You're asking for trouble, okay? If you want to get married, there's four of us here. I could probably guess the times of year we all got married, and it probably was more towards maybe when Santa Claus was coming, and that was for a reason, right? Okay, so I think that's the good side of it, that you can plan your life, you can have a social life. I think the inter-county lads, TJ, from talking to them as well, they like it, because I suppose when the inter-county thing is over, they can go away and kind of let the hair down maybe for a couple of weeks wherever they want with their buddies from the inter-county panels or their club mates before the thing starts, because they have a structure and they know when the club games are going to start. And I also would love to see more midweek games, lads. It doesn't happen too much in TIP. I think it might happen maybe somewhere else, but I'd love to see more matches on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, you're talking about lads getting recovery in and all the things like that. And I think that would be another help as well if lads had things on at the weekend or whatever. I'd love to see more championship matches on Wednesdays and Thursdays, in my opinion, when the daylight is there to do it. Like, you know, very hard to ask someone play a championship game at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. But I'm talking about at the height of summer there, you know, or in August, that these games would be on at 7:30. And I think that would also be another thing. The con of it is, the negative of the side of it is, there is that limbo period, lads, there with the club, because the wait is so long. I think any club going back training before March is mad now, lads, in my opinion, because you realise that, realistically, you're not going to be hurling until the end of July, August. So I think if you are going back training in January, February, you're only asking for trouble, for burnout for the players, for interest going. I mean, there was probably a period there, maybe for all clubs, lads, this year, maybe in May or June, where you probably would have got more lads to tug out in Magaluf than you would maybe in Mullinahone, because, you know, lads were gone away and they wanted to live their lives. And I think that comes down to management by the manager, by the club, to say, look, lads, we train hard for this block. We play our league. Take your time away. But lads, we need everybody on board for the end of July, start of August. So I think I'm all for it in that regard. I personally wouldn't mind seeing the All-Ireland going back 2 or 3 weeks. That'd be my opinion. I think the club thing could still get played with very, very, very well and very efficiently if the All-Ireland went back 2 or 3 weeks. That'd be my opinion on it. But split season, lads, there's a lot there to talk about. Do I think split season is good? I do. And even as playing with the club there at the moment, I think lads know when they can go away and lads know when they have to be back. The America thing is a tricky one. Lads need to live their lives too, lads. But you're talking about under 19. I think the under 19 thing is as worthwhile now as a handbrake in the canoe. I don't think that's working. I think you've seen that. You probably all read Christy O'Connor's article, lads. Mark, I'm sure you read it, like what's going on down in Cork. It's gone on everywhere, lads. The under 19 things is lads don't want to play it. There's no interest in it. And I'm sure it's another debate.
It's like a plate competition. When you're beaten in the championship, we play the plate. Like, there's no interest
Look, for me, get it back to under 18, under 21, you know.
That's a big one.
I think that's where it's at. Look, So
and universally, yeah, that's, in every county. Yeah. And I would like the three more weeks as well. I don't think that affected with your top senior grade, and which this is all about finishing the All-Ireland in the calendar year, the club All-Irelands, with them all being down to 16, which there's a bit of work to be done in a couple of counties, especially Galway. That when that's done, I don't think you'll have any hassle finishing your in good weather as well. You're still not going to be finished. Like, I mean, the Clare quarterfinals are on this weekend. The football quarterfinals will be next weekend. Back to semi-finals. It's going to be another month. And that's not any massive difference from when my first county final playing in was 1989. That was on my birthday, the 22nd of October. In 1997, Clare won the All-Ireland senior title and the All-Ireland minor title, and the county final was played on the 22nd of October as well. So it's not going to be massive change either that we're all going to be finished. But I know the Munster Council, the Munster Club fixtures are out. Look, we could be talking about it all day anyway, and we're already up to 50 minutes. All I will say is the Waterford Football Championship got finally thrown in last Saturday. You know, so maybe some counties would want to look at the overall thing. Like, I know Waterford Football is not maybe in the top 15 counties in Ireland or the top 20 even, but at the same time, there's Waterford lads who'd live for club football. You know, we know some of the names. We saw how great a player footballer Brick was in his day, and a few more of them, and other lads that just play football, and they got started last Saturday in their club championship. So I don't think we have it bang on. I think there's merit in it. I agree with you, Shane. I agree with you too, Mark. You know, I do agree with you, but I think it needs, I'd be very strong on 18 and 21 coming back in at all grades. And a proper,
but I
think in Clare, the first competition in the year was always the 21 championship around Paddy's weekend knockout. Everyone loved it. Straight knockout. You might have 8-10 teams in A down the long BC, and teams got ready for it good and early. That was the early training that went on. Now it's going to be played at the end of October, I think. And, you know, I just don't see the merit in that, the way they're trying to run it.
Okay, so just on the under 18 grade, Anthony, if that's brought back in, you see, one of the beauties of under 17 is that none of those players will affect adult competitions. If you bring back the grade up to 18, it's going to affect the fixtures on adult competitions, because clubs will say he's playing minor and he's playing adult, and there's going to be a crossover of fixtures. So if it comes back up to 18, what I can then see is that the GAA will move to say, if you went under 18 grade, well, under 18s can't play adult grade anymore. So that was one, that was the main reason for switching down to 17.
And I don't,
along just with that, from being involved this year, Mark, I know Shane is still playing, but I'm directly involved. Our 17s, which is now the minor, you know, they play Tuesday night, Wednesday night there every week in the good weather. They're down to the semi-finals now, so they're on Sunday week. We'll be finished probably with the senior or juniors might be still in it. But we'd have had three lads. We'd have had no problem with them playing a match on the Wednesday night. You know, three lads that are over for 17 that are with us. We'd have had no issue at all, I think, with those three playing an under 18 minor championship on a Wednesday night. We never had, not in my time. I came onto the senior panel at Kilcastle as a minor, and you know, we played away.
I would 100% agree with you, right? That you as an individual in your club, but we had a club, two clubs in Cork this year, refused to leave their adult players playing the under-19 competition. So that's where the issue happens.
Yeah,
but
We didn't play it on.
They didn't allow them playing the under-19 competition.
Yeah,
they were 19 years of age.
We had a long-term injury, and we had the three guys in America. And could we afford them? I think it was going to be five more of the panel playing on the Thursday night before the Sunday. We couldn't. But I think there was an acceptance always of 18-year-olds playing their grade, and if they were available then for Saturday, Sunday, fine.
I think a more important point is, and I agree with what you're saying there, but let's say if you kept it, like right now, if a guy plays up to under 17, right, like you need to be exceptionally good to be on your club senior squad the following year coming out of, you're only going to get the real cream of the crop at under 17, right? Whereas if you can keep those guys playing for another 12 months, right, and let's say they're 18 or heading to be 19 the following season, now you're trying to bring a bigger group of them onto your senior squad. It's a better roadmap coming out of under 18, I believe, rather than under 17.
Didn't Arsenal bring on a 15-year-old last weekend? But look, we'll leave that because we will get back to that. And I think from my point of view there, a massive amount of a sit-down, a powwow has to happen at the end of this year. I'd probably leave things alone for next year, even with the All-Ireland in the middle of July.
even though I'd love another 3 weeks for the All-Ireland, I just think it'd be better for the for our sports. But I think at the end of the 2 years, then call it what's working, what's not working. Look at all the various problems in this county. Look at how beautiful it can work in Cork. And, you know, let's see what we can come
Marco, would you be available for some of those discussions if the GAA called on you to sit round the round table, get your opinion and to drive kind of some of those changes?
My door is always open, TJ. Always open.
Good.
It's like they say about, I never retired, it just stopped picking me.
Yeah, well, so if Larry McCarthy and if Tom Ryan are listening, Marco will be a top man to have on that committee. All expenses paid, in Crow Park on the Wednesday night. He got to the Curragh on the way home the following day. Lads, there's matches to be played. We'll have to start, I suppose, with the Little All Ireland, as it's known.
Jesus, we'll be here for half an hour.
We won't. Even though a Cork club haven't won a Munster club in so long, it's just and hadn't even raised a gallop in the Munster club in so long. But we still talk about it. It's a big deal down there. Marco, you've double headers the weekend. I know the Examiner live streaming both the senior semi-finals and the senior A semi-finals and the senior A semi-final between Father Neil's, your neighbours, and Bright Rovers. Wouldn't be that far from you either, would it?
No.
All being live streamed. Fantastic service. I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't seen that much because I've been involved. And if you're not involved, I'd love to sit down and watch loads of matches. But when you're involved, you're kind of caught with going training and this, that, and the other. So huge ones to look forward to, Mark. You alluded to BlackRock coming through on penalties. Aaron's Own, no quarterfinal for their greatness early on the year by being the team that had the most got out of the group stages.
Right, the highest ranked team, straight into the semi-final. Yes, yeah. So, like, it's a festival of hurling yet again, right, okay? All the quarterfinals, and just so people know, there are five grades in Cork, Premier Senior, Senior A, Premier Intermediate, Intermediate A, and Premier Junior. Now, it's a bit of a mouthful, I for sure.
Division
1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Keep it simple, right? But anyway, that's where we're at. 12 teams in all grades. So we've done that structuring, and it really is coming to fruition, I would suggest. We've a unique scenario where you have Castlemartyr and Liz Gould unbeaten in 3 years. So they've won two county championships at the lower grades and coming up along. So they are both back in semi-finals at a third grade higher than they were 2 years ago. So, or 3 years ago. So that's massive. But the matches are spread over the weekend. So you have matches Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So you have 3 days of club championship happening this weekend. So it's massive. Just to run through it, the Bears are playing Newtown and the Rockies are playing Aaron's Own. Both those matches are in Parky Cleeve. It's a doubleheader. And on Sunday. And just to mention all the games, you said Father O'Neill's and Bride Rovers. There's also Castlelines and Castlemartyr. And it's Senior A for the Father O'Neill's game and Premier Intermediate for the Castlelines Castlemartyr game. But they're four East Cork teams. So they're bringing, in fairness, good move by the county board to bring four East Cork teams, even though they're different grades, bring them in to pay them as a doubleheader. And you'll be really hoping that the supporters will go and watch both games. Now, would I prefer the match would be on in Middleton, where it's 10, 15 minutes for all supporters? Probably yes. But as you know, as a player, you want to go into the main stadium and play in the main stadium. I'm just talking about the promotion of the game, making it easier for the fans to get and create a really brilliant atmosphere. It's 4,000 or 5,000 people into Middleton for a doubleheader, an all East Cork one. It would be massive. So there's pros and cons, but the bottom line is a massive amount of hurling going to go on in Cork this weekend. And then to get into the nuts and bolts of it, I'd say the county board will be really, really hoping that the Bears and Black Rock will get into a final, because we had the Glen and the Rockies during COVID, no supporters, hadn't seen it for 30 or 40 years, an all-city final. And we missed, no, we, it was covered in TG Cahar. It was a brilliant game. And there's a possibility both teams go in as favourites this weekend. And I think both teams could possibly win, I would suggest. And, you know, a little message back to Mark Sheehan and the county board and Kevin O'Donovan. If whoever gets to the county final, would you just go out to the national schools and give each child a €5 voucher that can be brought to the board, brought to the county board or the Parky Quay the day of the final? Because you want to pack out your stadium the day of the final to promote the game and create a great atmosphere. And I prefer to see a bum in the seat at €3 or €4 than no bum in the seat. So get the kids involved, you know. The kids are going to be getting in for free anyway, but you'll bring a parent along if you give them a voucher for a fiver. So the message, Anthony, is keep promoting the game. The young kids, I have a young fella, they're all going to school now, they're all going to primary school. Not all kids, and we're in a country, a rural village, right? Not all kids are going out to the field to play GAA. So like Charlie's got 23.
They're not seeing their heroes, you see, in July, August.
Well, they're not seeing any heroes anything for a long time, to be honest with you. But it is a way easier if you're promoting the game, there's no doubt. But we have lost a bit of that allure. We have lost that situation whereby, oh, you think in a rural club, every fella will have a hurley in his hand. They don't. So we need to promote the game and we need to encourage people to go to the matches. And that forms part of that. If you're in a locality of Newtown, Shandon, or the Bars, or you know, on the south side, you know, those kids, and they might be in the heart of Blackrock, they don't even know Blackrock are in a county semi-final, some of them, this weekend. Whereas at least if there's something going on and promoting it within the national school, they will get more people to go to the match. And it is all about promoting the game.
Although when they came home with the COVID one, there was a fair crowd to meet them at the clubhouse. Blackrock was a super spreader, wasn't it?
They were all out.
So didn't the Crow Park shut down shop straight afterwards? So look, just a bit of information about the semi-finalists in the Premier Senior. So you have Blackrock, obviously trained by Louis McQueen. They came through the semi-final on penalties, beating him McKillie. In the last round robin game, Charleville were 2 points up 5 minutes ago. Charleville were in the county final and Blackrock were out of the championship. Blackrock happened to squeeze through and put Charleville into a relegation final. So that was fierce exciting. They're a big physical team. They were county champions 2 years ago. They're playing a different brand of hurling. They're playing a little bit like Limerick. They're controlled, ball over and back to field, holding possession. I don't know, would that work this weekend against Ironzone? It possibly will. Ironzone, just listen
possibly
to Mark
more Bowen. Possibly more of a Clare influence pre-Lohan, I'd say, there than a Limerick influence.
I'd say something. So I think they took a long time to beat McKillie. And in McKillie were in front for nearly all the game. Robbie Cotter got a last-minute goal. Great goal in fairness. I mean, he's been really good. He's been a standout forward in the championship so far this year. They'll go in as favourites, but they're coming up against Ironzone. And listen to an interview from Martin Vaughan, who said they were trying to avoid relegation this year and they end up finding themselves in a semi-final. Now, they're a brilliant club in so far that the two Murphys, Stephen Cronin, Shea Bonan goals, Shawnee Kelly midfield, Stephen Cronin halfback, they're all close to 30. So they have given unbelievable service to the club. But whether they'll be able to get over the line or not, I don't know. They didn't have a quarter final because of the luxury being the top graded team. They went straight to the semi final. We won Nortle after the weekend. How that's going to pan out? The Bears are Newtown. The Bears are the coming team. It's intriguing because Newtown beat the Glen, who were favourites and have been in 3 county finals for the last 4 or 5 years, and then toughed it out. There were 7 or 8 points up at half time. With a significant breeze. The Glen came back level with 10 minutes to go and it looked like the Glen were going to overhaul them, but they didn't. Now, I suppose Newtown have certainly been surprise packets, I would say, on one hand. Jamie Carlin and Cahill Nocton, two lads from the ages, have been brilliant for them. You know, can they carry them through again on another weekend? It'll probably...
Tim O'Mahony in his best position.
centre-back, yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Got 4 points from play from centre-back. But his marker on the night, Owen Downey got 6 from play. So, you know, what do you do? I'm a defender, but I'm leaving your man get 6 points from play. So, and Owen Downey is the younger brother of Robert Downey. And he was picked at wing-back, and they played him centre-forward, and he was brilliant on the night. So, another lad for the future, hopefully.
They hadn't Hoggy either, of course, the Glenn.
No, he didn't play. He was injured. He was injured in the last game of their round robin and didn't play him for some reason, but missed a couple of frees late on that possibly would have got him over the line. But look, it's just one of those things. I suppose they made a decision that his injury was significant and that he couldn't take his place. So, but the Bears are certainly the coming team. There's no doubt about that. They have it everywhere. They're big, they're physical, they're very mobile. They're the most mobile team in Cork now by a long ways. A lot of you, Ben O'Connor, Eaton Toomey, Ben Cunningham, George Youngfella, Brian Hayes, Conor Cahalan.
Could the football catch up a bit?
It's not going to be a help. I put it this way. If they weren't involved in the football, I would make the Bears as being the favourites to win the championship. It would be certainly they'd have a clear path. They'd be hurling every night of the week. No, they've managed it brilliantly, in fairness to the club. So, but they're really a nice Holland team, and they're good tactically, but they play a lot of long ball as well. You know, so they're a more traditional team, I would suspect, a little bit more traditional insofar that they will hold it if they need it, but there is an appetite to get the ball to the forwards. Young Jack Cahalan, obviously, the three Cahalan brothers, and here's the funny thing, three Cahalan brothers have been Holland for the Bears. They play football for Castlehaven and are meeting each other in the semi-final of the football. So that'll be an interesting weekend. And Damien got a red card in the football in the last match. So I think he's available for the Holland, but not available for the football. But sure, we've seen last year in the county with 15 red cards and 13 of them were rescinded. Maybe that's a discussion for another day with the county board. But I expect that Damien will probably be available, judging on what we saw last year in the rescinding of all these red cards.
Would you say an all-city final, Matt?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. And that's not being disrespectful to the other two teams. But just,
I'll ask you to just call the senior A, Father Neils and Bright Rovers, Fermoy and Courcy.
Jesus. Oh, Dalo. Father O'Neill's are going for their third county final in a row. John Melrick would have been missing for a number of those matches. He's back fully fit this year. Bright Rovers have improved a good bit. They had a really good underage structure. All those lads now are getting older, so they had a really good qualifying win over Clyne. It was a non-contest, to be honest, they won by 7 or 8 goals on the night. Bright Rovers will go into the match as favourites. Father O'Neill's going into the match as favourites. I have a sneaking feeling that Bright Rovers will give him enough for that deal. Like Owen Roach and Dickie Dalton now will be one of the matchups.
Yeah.
Brian Roach is named at full forward, but he normally plays as centre forward. He's a really hot property at the moment. And there's a young fella that came out of minor last year. His name escapes me now. He's a really good player. Do you know what? I'll go for an outsider on this one, right? I go for the Rovers to beat Father O'Neill. And in the other one, Courses have been really tough, physical. Sean Goheen in charge of them. They've got over the line by a point against Ballyhea in a game that, you know, could have went anywhere. They're really tough and physical. I think Fermoy might have a bit more pace for them. They play football as well. But this year in particular, they're getting a fierce tune and they're putting up big scores in the championship as well. So for me, I'm going to go with Fermoy in that one, and I'm going to go for Bright Rovers in the other one.
Okay, and we'll be back for the Little All-Ireland Finals in 2 weeks' time. I know there's loads of other grades, but we'll be here all night if we went down through all the grades.
True.
huge weekend and tip, 2 doubleheaders. Shane, I'm sure you'll be on duty with the streaming and the commentaries, and you've had a few very exciting ones. Saturday, you've 2 local derbies, really, with Drummond Inch and Lochmore, and then Kilrun and Toome. And then Sunday, J.K. Bracken's an Upper Church meeting again after meeting in the football last week, I think, or Upper Church won, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
Kildangan, who I suppose would be favourites. I don't know. I could be wrong on that meeting. I suppose one of the stories, for a lot of sad reasons, in Clonauty in the last match.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you see him going? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I'd say go down through him quickly there for you, Dalo. Like I said, the Drumlockmore thing, I suppose for a long time, Lockmore would have been the favourite in this match, but Drum really have got their house in order this year. If there's, you're talking about guys maybe that the wider hurling world might not have heard of, Mark named a few there down in Cork. A few guys from Drum, I think, will be see time in a Tip Senior jersey sooner rather than later. One of them being Podge Campion and another one being John Campion. John would have figured that under 20s, but Podge, you know, he's playing the half-back line. He's hurling unbelievable stuff. Johnny Ryan in the forwards, David Collins, and massive for Drummond Inch at the moment, lads, is that Shamey is really hitting form again. You might have seen the point he got off the Hurley there the last day from whatever it was out. And I think Owen Collins actually scored him from just outside the 21, even Turles, the goalkeeper for Drum. But what I'm trying to say is that normally the pressure would be on Lockmore to win these matches or the expectation. Whereas for me, I think now it's Drum's time. Like, and if Drum can get over the line, I think they will actually go on and win the county final. I think they're physically in great shape. They're mentally in a great place. And Lockmore still don't have John. They don't have Ed Connolly back. Kieran Connolly featured for him the last day, so he's a massive push on. But look, I suppose everybody has always said something about Lockmore that they just know more so than Kilkenny. They seem to know how to win big on the biggest days. But I just think Drum are in a really great place, so I fancy them to do it Saturday. I think Kitterwan and Toomwan is tough as well.
Is Ed Connolly in the States?
No, Connolly's injured. He got injured from
just back from the States.
So Kieran's just back from the States, but Kieran actually picked up an injury as well. So he's just coming back from that injury, but he's a massive boost now. He featured last day for him against Enniscarty. So, and obviously, look, even you the likes of Noel and Brian McGrath and John Maher and these guys in your squad, and they've all county medals hurling and football. They know what it takes to win on the big day. But as I said, I just think Drum are in a good place, and I really fancy them. I think that game is on telly as well, Mark. So something for you to watch there on Saturday as well. Watch a bit of Tip Hurling there on the telly on Saturday.
I'll be in the so corner. Then I'll the be other in the one, Shane, I'll be in the corner, and you're more than welcome to broaden your horizon outside of GAA, kid. If you want to come.
He'd be doing core commentary, like, come on, will you?
So,
I'll link in with you.
Killer One, we'll do FaceTime. Killer One and Toom, lads, is a tricky one because Toom, you know, are a traditional team. They're not the same powerhouses as they were, like, from years gone by. But, like, Killer One have no Craig Morgan. Craig is, you know, he did his cruciate in one of the last games. So he's massive loss. But I just think, I do think Killer One are coming into it in a good place again. There's kind of no, I don't think there's any kind of halfway between Killer One. They're either kind of poor as a group or they're exceptional as a group. And I think that's what you get with them. And I think they'll even admit that themselves. But they like playing in Turles. And I just think that they probably will have too much for Toom. On the Toom, to be fair side of things, if there's one guy I feel that might make a step up to maybe being Liam Cahill's plans, it's Jack Delaney. He's been really impressive there for him. He's knocking 4 or 5 points over a game from play. So, but I just think that Killer One will have too much from there. That's the second of the double header on Saturday. On Sunday then with the Church and the Brackens, Dalo, as you said, like they actually played each other in the football quarterfinal, senior football quarterfinal last week, and Upper Church got the better of them there. But I think JK Brackens are, like, they came from 7 points down against Nina the last day. You know, they have a good resolve. They are a very young team. You know, the likes of Shane Burke would be an older guy, would have hurled with us and did a bit of club hurling down in with Douglas for a while, but, you know, got a bad injury when he went down there. But I just think they like playing in Turles. I think the Brackens are young. And I think the confidence they would have got from the Nina thing, and obviously that bit of hurt from losing the football as well, because they would have fancied themselves in that football. I think that might drive them on. And players are important, but there's one guy that's central to the whole lot of the JK Brackens thing and them winning the mid-championship. And that's their manager, Eamon Corcoran. Like, he was brilliant.
Over the football as well, brilliant.
He'd be involved there as well, like, you know, and everybody in the Brackens, they just love Eamon, and they'll do anything for Eamon because he did it when it mattered most for him. So I think the Brackens, I just fancy the Brackens just about to get over the line there. And last one then is Kildangan Clonauty. You all well know, lads, about poor Dylan. And this is Clonauty's first day back in Turles since that happened. And, like, I think from talking to people who were at the match against Turles, Clonauty and Turles, the last day that they won, in the prelim quarterfinal. And talking to maybe even listen to some of the players, this is John O'Keefe's interview afterwards. They had Dylan Quirk's bunce mind the night before they played at Thurles Sarsfields. And I just think that was probably one of the biggest victories maybe ever for that group and maybe for the club against Thurles. And, you know, the emotion that was there and everything. But sure, as you all know here, lads, emotion will only get you so far. You have to have the talent to back it up. And they do, like, Clonalty have some serious hurlers. You know, Cathal Burke being one of them there in the full forward line. He was exceptional. But I just feel Killadangan are coming. I think they're getting their best team back on the field now. I think they like playing in Thurles. And, you know, it's hard to know what way it'll go for Clonalty. It's so difficult, lads. We can only imagine what they're going to be going through going into that dressing room or stepping out into that pitch again for the first time since poor Dylan passed away. Like, so I just feel that Killadangan, because they're getting all the best lads back in the field, and because, you know, again, they are an experienced team, I just think they might have too much maybe for the Clonalty lads. But, I mean, what an achievement for Clonalty lads to even be in this quarterfinal, to even continue on in the club championship. Just been down there that night at the funeral, just that's what they wanted. That's what Dylan's family wanted. And I just think, I mean, it's the story of the year, how they've even got this far. And it just shows that, I suppose it shows the what why sport isn't the be all and end all, lads. But you know what? When it needed most, it is the GAA, it is the sports people in your life, in your community that rally around them. And I think that's why Clonalty are where they are on Sunday. So there'll be a lot of emotion there that game. So if I was to call four winners, Dalo, I think Drum and Inch will win. I think Killarwan will win. I think the Brackens will win. And I think Killadangan will just poke it over the line in Tip this weekend.
Okay. Thanks, Shane. That was good, great synopsis. And we wouldn't have got a chance on the show, just on behalf of everyone on our show, on our podcast, to extend our deepest sympathies to the Quirk, the Friday family, and the extended family. I know Declan Ryan would have been very close to Dylan as well growing up. And, you know, he's a huge loss. We'd be on about summing up the match, Shane, as well there. If he was playing, you might have a different slant on the match, even how good a player he was.
They're actually missing Connor Hammersley as well, Dalo. He's over in America in the States at the moment. He's doing some studies over there. And his brother Timmy, as you know, is Dublin, doing his Ireland in Dublin championship. So, like, they're two massive losses as well, as is Dylan. Colossal loss. But, you know, they'll leave everything on the pitch. They'll do it all. But, you know, it might be a step too far for them on Sunday against a really good Killadangan team.
Okay. In Clare, lads, big weekend, two doubleheaders. Great move, actually, both in Cusick Park. Two Saturday, two Sunday. Saturday, you have Cratlow, who they pulled up a bit the last day because they're still in the football quarterfinals as well. So they rested six or seven. And O'Callaghan's Mills beat them. It was a kind of a dead rubber. And that O'Callaghan's Mills were going to be in the B anyway. And Cratlow were going to top the group anyway because the scoring difference was so good, because they gave Ballyhea a big beating in the second last game. So, and Cratlow might have a bit too much for the market, who are tough, and they'll give it their all. The Bridge are nearly everybody's favourites, Six Mile Bridge at the moment. They play Wolf Tones from Shannon, who have a very good 15 players, potentially. We played them in the County League, and by God, every position looks good. But they'll be dependent on Aaron Shanahan maybe opening up and getting a couple of goals or something like that. But the Bridge, under Sean Stack and Gilly, especially, they've really seemed to respond it so far. And then you've two crackers on Sunday. Then you've Ballyhea, not going as well as they'd like. Struggled to beat ourselves and Broadford, and got well hammered by Cratlow. But they've got through. They've an awful lot of guys playing football with other clubs, because that's the Ballyhea team. You know, they've their own lads, the Tonys and the Jack Browns this world. And then they've a lot of West Clare lads who go over and play with them, the Pierce Lillises and these sort of fellas, Tomás Kellys and all that. I could name them all out. They certainly, the West Clare lads did an awful lot of damage the day we played them. So they come up against a Clooney team who were very impressive in two rounds. They were fighting relegation last year, Clooney. So Tommy Corbett, ex-A Rogue, is their manager, and they seem to be under a new lease of life. But I still expect probably Ballyhea to come through. And the last of them then is probably the best of them in terms of contests, I think. Aina Kilnamona, last year's finalist, David Fitzgerald, playing really, really well. You know, they have great young fellas, and they will have a good few coming from 17 as well. They were on that Clare minor team there coming, but they meet Aero Guinness, And lads, to be honest with you, Shane O'Donnell has been almost unmarkable at the edge of the square in every game. Kilmaley actually beat them in the first round, but he was still outstanding in that. And they topped the group on scoring difference. Kilmaley were a bit unlucky. They went out on scoring difference. Aina Kilimona beat them in last year's semi-final. I think Iarraug might reverse it. Iarraug Ennis, and they'd be favourites to win the football as well. So, but they haven't that many playing both, like O'Donnell and Reedy. They really haven't played much football yet this year. So I think that's the intriguing game of the weekend, one I'd be really looking forward to. There's a couple of relegation matches on as well. We won't talk about those. We just hope for the best. And we're doing no Venus.
What day are you playing, Dale?
We're playing on Saturday at 5 o'clock against Whitegate in the home of all East Clare teams in Tulla. So we're up against the map.
Can we have the live stream in that one?
There'll be no streaming. There'll be no cameras allowed, no phones in that. But look, they played well. They drew with Fecal the last day. Putting up a bit of a score. We scored 9 points the last day, three of which were scored by a lad Dooney's leaving South Clyke, who'd be playing for Flanagan's in the Hearty Cup in a couple of weeks' time. Off the bench. So we can't go much lower. We just hope. We trained okay for the couple of weeks. We're doing a little bit tonight, and we just hope that our lads turn up. And even if we go down, that we go down with a bit of pride. You'd never know what can happen on the day. They took a couple of beatings as well in their group. So did we off Cracklaw. We took a beating off Cracklaw, but the rest of the games are fairly competitive, but a draw and 2 4-point losses. So you'd be just hoping on the day. But going on the form of the last two matches, Whitegate would be favourites. You've Scarrofton and Smith O'Brien's Killaloe. You just fancy Mac Rogers has been the other standout player in the Clare Championship. He's really no injuries like he had for Clare all year, and he has been on fire. And you'd expect that on form alone. I know the Fogs from Dublin came down and played them and actually came to Murty's last Saturday night. I won't go through the teams that were in Murty's while I was last talking to you. But we had the Fogs Saturday night, and they were very impressed with how Scarrofton were moving. So, but that's a big local derby down there in East Clare, right on the banks of Loch Derg. So, again, I'd expect Scarrof, but you wouldn't know what would happen in a game like that, TJ.
Dylan, just an interesting question, I'd say, for a lot of teams up and down the country. Like, obviously, the tradition and the history of clubs playing senior is huge. I respect that. Mm. But in situations where there's teams up and down the country hanging on to senior for the sake of keeping your status, right? Is there a case in some places where you could say, like, is it the end of the world if you drop, rebuild, win a county, and come back with a head of steam? It's a tricky one. Like I said, we all want to hold that status, but it is a tricky one. So sometimes, even though you might be very disappointed on the day or maybe the following day, dropping a level sometimes might be the start of something new again. Like, so it might be the end of the world. That's all I'm saying.
It might not.
So I'm preparing you for the road ahead.
Yeah, I know. And we are kind of prepared. I mean, we've been in this situation like 6 or 7 times now in the last 12 or 13 years. So we know all about it. People will be telling us that Whitegate will be so ready for this. But we're well used to this. But it's a different team now, obviously. There is that. But I suppose we're 92 years senior. And
I respect that. Yeah.
12 championships, and you still like to preserve it, because our minors are reasonably good. They're in the semi-final on Sunday. There are 3 or 4 of them available to play next year, although they won't be 18 yet. But they're good lads, and you'll be hoping. I don't know. Look, there's pros and cons, TJ. Certainly, if you could go back down and win an intermediate, have won a cup, be coming up with momentum, there's an element in that as well. Sometimes we see teams have gone down and they've not reappeared at senior for 4 or 5 years. And that's the other quandary, So, and our intermediate, obviously, with two to go down this year and 2 to go down next year to get back to 16, it's going to be tricky to come out of our intermediate. So, look, there is pros and cons. Just to touch on the other counties, lads, Limerick, no games the weekend, TJ, but Napiercig and Kilmallock, probably as expected.
I give you a very quick overview. There's 12 senior teams in Limerick. Yeah. We play senior A, 6 teams, senior B, 6 teams. The top 2 teams in senior A go through to the semi-finals. That's where Napiercig and Kilmallock are sitting. They are the 2 best teams at the moment and the 2 form teams. And rightly so, in the semi-finals. And the Senior B, the top two teams make a quarter-final, and then third and fourth in Senior A make the quarter-final. I suppose probably the good story in Limerick at the moment is Kildaimo Palace Kenry. They're into a quarter-final in
Could
Limerick.
They put it up to Doon?
In knockout hurling for the first time since 1937. And yes, they can. They have a certain Kyle Hayes carrying the can from at the moment. And I'm sure plenty of you saw it. He scored 10 points in play against BlackRock. Last weekend, I think he played against Gary Spillane. I was there at the game. He played most of the time at full forward. And what a target man. Himself and Darren O'Connell are inside in the full forward line. They have a very straightforward system.
John Chalk's
banging in goals and driving balls about 200 yards. Kildaimo will play Doon in one quarter final, and Patty Swell will play South Liberties in the other quarter final. So those two winners then, like Kilmallock and the Pearcy, get kept apart. So on the intercounty watch, a couple of things. Obviously, Kyle Hayes is flying it and in the forwards. Patrick Sweller playing without Keane. Like, he did have his operation, I'm sure plenty of people saw. He's still on the recovery list and doesn't look like he'll play for the remainder of the year. Every Limerick person will be hoping that we can get him back to full fitness in the winter and have him back for a full season next year, and wishing the best of luck on that. On the other side of it, there's a certain Pat Ryan lighting things up for Doon. Played really, really well the last day. I'm sure he'd like to make a statement, but excellent play at the moment and really putting his hand up to say, I'd like to come back. And just one other one for note, if you do happen to see any of the semi-finals, there's a certain young man called Shane O'Brien playing in the full forward line for Kilmallock. Anybody who's been involved in the school scene or maybe seen Limerick under 17s, All-Ireland College winner, will know what he's capable of. But he's had a fantastic start to his senior campaign. He's in the inside forward line for a good Kilmallock team, and he's certainly lighting things up at the moment. So all the round robin is over. Business end to come, but at the moment, the Pearcy and Kilmallock, the chip leaders at the moment.
Yeah, fair play, good synopsis. Just your old county, TJ, that you coached in, obviously Galway, for the first time since you started, TJ, that got hammered without you by Turlough Moore, Thomas's at the weekend. But they're still there, very much there, the Toms, obviously.
They were missing a couple of lads the last day, so well turned over by Turlough Moore. Big win for them. Maybe a little bit different to last year, which had a format of the championship number one, but there was one more round to play in order for them to get their knockout rounds. There's quarterfinals and preliminary quarterfinals to play for. St. Thomas's will still qualify, as it looks like all the big teams, so plenty to play for there. I'm sure likes of, let's say,
Gray are going well, TJ. I was looking at Cambridge going well. Tommy Larkin's
Cambridge
going well.
Tommy Larkin's and your old boy Sarr's going well as well. Plenty to look forward to there. So one more round to come. Then we'll know what the shape up. Yeah, but St. Thomas's, maybe the wake-up call they needed. So well trimmed by Turlough last week. And missing a few players. So let's watch this space.
Yeah, so lads, we've gone on, of course, way longer than anticipated. And we were going to talk about some of the refereeing stuff that we could learn from the fellas with the egg-shaped ball, Mark. But I think we leave it for a couple of weeks' time. We'll hold back something. We've had a few unsavoury incidents with refs, I think, and officials, and we don't like to see it. And we can learn, and we'll talk about it next day. Just to say congrats, I suppose, to Ballygunner in Waterford, 9 in a row. We have what a club. Reigning All-Ireland champions as well. And one of the things that someone said to me, we were actually having a pint after losing our game last week, and the news came through that they'd won it by 9 points, I think, against a lot of people thought Mount Syme would really rattle them this time. Was their intermediates, I think, the previous week, the man that scored a famous goal last year to win them. Harry Ruddle was scoring a goal for their intermediates. That'll tell you the strength and depth down there. I think they have a great young fella came through as well. Is he Fitzgerald from De La Salle? He has come in and he has really made a big difference to them. Well done to Causeway, who won months ago in Kerry. But I think in Kerry there's a few competitions anyway that are run away, the North Kerry League, North Kerry Championship. And in actual fact, we had a Kilmiley stag here at one stage, and all the hurlers were here, the Tom Mornans and all the lads, Daniel Collins, etc. And they said last year after winning it, and remember Kilmiley went to the All-Ireland Intermediate Club Final, they completely stopped. Now, it was a bit weird. They took a month nearly off completely and built up again because they knew they were meeting, I think, the Tipperary Intermediate Champions in the quarterfinal in Munster. They had a date for that. It was something like 3 months away. So they just said, go away, enjoy yourself, do whatever you want, try and train, stay in shape. I think they weighed them once a week or something, they had a meeting, and they came back. And it was like two seasons, they were saying. One or two of them were saying to me, they still missed the old
getting ready for a county final, maybe when the Listowel races is coming to an end and things. And but anyway, that's the way they've decided to do it. It's all football down there at the moment. But then again, lads, with the system, I know Mark O'Shea is in charge of Listry, who in the junior championship round robin beat Fossa, who's the Cliffords, and were delighted with themselves. But Fossa got through anyway. There was one more round to play, but have no game for 7 weeks now again. Like, that's systems in counties have still a lot of aligning to do. But of course, that's to do with Kerry. Obviously, both clubs are contributing at the moment now to East Kerry, and there's so many amalgamations there. Very well done to St. Aidan's Ferns. First ever title. Romantic story after a lot of hard looks. Again, they'll have a bit of a wait. But, you know, that was a great story. I know the celebrating went on down there for quite a while. I know a couple of the lads down there. Johnny Callan, my friend Johnny Callan, would be very familiar with Ferns. His brother-in-law, the late, great Paddy Doyle, was a Ferns diehard on racing and hurling. And they celebrated that good and hard. And fair play to them. Awfully down to the double Ks against Shinrone. I think Shinrone did the most un-Shinrone thing. They've lost a lot of narrow semi-finals, I think, but they got two late goals, I think, to beat Belmont. But Killar McAlahy beat Boer, so they'll be favourites there. Intriguing one in Laois. Clock Balacolla going for three in a row, and obviously had a good run in Leinster last year against the sort of old aristocrats in Camras, who will be mad to try and get back up there. That's huge. In Dublin, the usual suspects are going well, I think, in Crokes, Coola, and Ballyboden. The Fianna struggling a bit, but starting to get their players back, so they may have a say there. Not so much news from the north. We know Shlock Neil, I think, are going for 10 in a row. We'll be more up to date 2 weeks' time on Antrim and Down. That's about it, lads, from my side of things. There's probably a couple of Fograss, just like to which my great old mucker, my great old pal, Desi Dolan. Best of luck with the Westmead footballers. Desi's a good old pal of mine. He only announced last night, the slagging on the WhatsApp page was unreal, with pictures of himself and Mark Shea, that he was a new coach and all. I think it was only Blagarden lads, like Shane Lowry, actually, because obviously Tomás has gone back to the Kerry 20s from the Offaly job. So, but best of luck to Desi. No better man, I'd say, to do the job. And just want to extend my sympathy to Jim McInerney and the McInerney family. Obviously, David, great year for Clare this year. Jim's mother, Angela, is going to the church this evening. And just my sympathies to them. If we were go through all the sympathies we could be extending there over since we were last on, I suppose we'd have rakes of stuff. So if you've any Fograss, TJ, you must have a fundraiser for someone.
One coming for Gary Spillane, a car draw coming towards the end of the year. So I get my house prepared for that. Just touch on young Jack de Bromhead. I know you said we wouldn't touch on them all, just touch the kind of sporting lives of us all. Any of us parents, obviously, that was one that really, really hit home. So kind of happened to be down in Henry's in April. So it definitely hit me hard. And just very unfortunate circumstances. So sympathies to them. Just for all, I suppose, our Come On Racing fans, and for something to look out for next week is, remember, next Friday, the 30th, Gorham Park, myself, yourself, and Marco, leading the team, Katie Tay, listed bumper. Really Katie looking Tay. Forward to that. Katie Tay.
Will it be a knockout? Will it be a knockout? Anything else, Marco, Shane, that you want to get in?
No. I leave a bean out this weekend, Dela. No.
Let me know. Am I in the marital suite or the bridal suite or whatever for next Friday night, will you?
You'll probably tell me on Thursday I'm not able to make it.
Well, we've fucking 20. Like, we're fighting relegation this Saturday.
We've
a 25-year reunion for the team that won the Munster Club in 97. The following Saturday, so how the mighty have fallen, I suppose, in one way.
We've won for the McKinley coming up.
Yeah.
If McKinley won the first county, or not the first county, but the first of our double in 97 as well. So we'd be parading before the county final this year. It was at halftime or during the game. We're getting together the McKinley panel on the 7th of October, so.
Yeah,
there'll be a lot of she's like, I can't believe the 25 years has flown by, like, you know.
I know, they fly by very quick. Shane, who are you playing the weekend?
We're playing. We're actually in relegation ourselves, Dalo. We're playing against Ballybacon Grange. Cummins is still going. Cummins is still going strong with them. So yeah, he is. Yeah, he probably one of still one of their main guys too. Like, sure, he's still a serious striker for ball. We actually played a charity match there not too long ago, Tip in Limerick, and I say, you know, a charity match in inverted commas. Like, I had a hurley broke off my arm after about 10 minutes in the game. So
Wasn't it great?
It wasn't TJ. No, TJ actually scored one of the greatest goals ever scored above in Boher Hurling Field that day. So that was a great day. Great money raised for Crumlin that day, TJ.
I heard Shane, he still wasn't as good as Donny.
No.
Donny's a crowd favourite. If Donny only pulled up the socks, sure, he'd be better than TJ, you know. So, TJ has to work harder to get that credit, you see, lads, you know. So,
yeah. Dalo, a new venture for me. I'll leave you on this one. Tomorrow, Saturday night, locally, there's a bit of a fundraiser on, and doing something that I haven't done before. I'm taking on Kevin the Artist Painter in a game of darts. He's coming over. So I'll be looking for the old 180s. I think John Kiley's going to make an appearance there as well. So this Saturday night,
if I can something turn it around, brand new. TJ, there's the dartboard, and there's the cool seven.
Ready for us. So big game, a couple of big games of darts in Gary Spillane this Saturday night.
What do you like to double out, TJ?
Oh, not good, Dela, not good. I'm kind of hoping that it'll be late in the night and people might have maybe a shorter memory or whatever. So I'll let you know how it goes.
The last time you brought myself a map down, we wouldn't have thrown much darts at the end of the night anyway, I tell you.
No. I have a dartboard, all right, like, but yeah, so a lot of practice required.
Good man. Well, if it works out for you like the fantasy hurling, you it is on the upward curve. You'll be taking
correct.
On
correct.
You'll be taking on who's the king of it at the moment there, Van Gerwen or one of them. Shortly up. What do you call the Welsh fella? Gerwin Price.
Gerwin, yeah. I just got a text there. They're looking for an intro song for me for the darts. So if anybody can advise me there on an intro song, just let Larry know there. He'll pass it on to me.
Yeah, well, Larry puts up this later today. We might get suggestions. I'll be retweeting it, and we'll ask our followers on Twitter and the other platforms what intro song should the great
what is the intro Ryan song? Yeah.
Walk into. Okay, folks. Thanks a million, Shane.
Oh, lads. Thanks a million.
Best of luck the weekend. Go up and stick past Cummins' ear as the only answer.
Hey, one, lads. Thanks a million, lads. Great to see you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
A grain of rice. A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lads.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show is. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.